even though we're not as early as some of the rest of you. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about development of gender-specific interventions to enhance salivary rapid HIV testing in African Americans. I had a doctoral student who helped me with this. So her name was Dana Hines, and she's moved on to do other things, but I wanted to acknowledge her on the presentation. I have no personal financial relationships with any of the commercial interests relevant to the presentation. I need to acknowledge the National Institutes of Nursing Research. This study was part of a Mentored Research Scientist Award, a KO1, and I also received some seed funding from the Center for Enhancing Quality of Life at Indiana University School of Nursing. The background for the study, this was a mixed method study, to be honest, that I did to collect data to help me develop an intervention to enhance salivary rapid testing in African Americans. On an annual basis, African Americans account for almost half of the new infections of HIV in the United States, which is a rather daunting number. They have a lifetime risk of 1 in 16 for men and 1 in 30 for women. Increasing initial and follow-up testing for early diagnosis and linkage to care are critical to alleviating HIV-related disparities. And this is one of the bigger pieces of the President's initiative to address HIV and prevention and actual elimination of that disease, in that it's going to take more than just one approach to actually prevent the disease and to treat it. So we're going to all have to get around the table and bring all of our skills and tools to it, not just medications, not just particular cognitive behavioral interventions or those kinds of things, but everything. So we needed to do some descriptive work in this area, so I did a mixed method study. One of the biggest pieces of this whole HIV testing piece is that if what we do know from many studies, that one's knowledge of their HIV status does affect their risk behavior. So if you know you're positive, more than likely you're going to be a little bit safer in your activities in terms of sex, and hopefully not transmit. Not always the case, but we see more of that. The methods that I used were a semi-structured interview guide. In the phase one, I used 10 focus groups of 2 to 5 African Americans that I recruited from a large STI clinic in Indianapolis, the Bellflower Clinic, which is one of the country's largest for STIs. I did thematic content analysis, and I also did a gender sub-analysis after we did some of the initial work, and did a lot of iterative comparisons to finally boil this thing down to themes. Total sample was 38 African American men and women, 16 were women, 22 were men, and they all, and this was always interesting in the demographic data sheets, reported that they were heterosexual with low income and no health insurance. They were so interested in me knowing that they were heterosexual that they would circle in great big several times with ink the word heterosexual or straight and those kinds of things. And they were great people to talk with, but I think there was a great deal of stigma still in that group, and that emerged in the themes and the discussions. The themes and sub-themes that emerged from all of these transcripts are on the screen, and I'm just going to go through, and rather than make these things real busy, I came up, just made a list of some of the quotes that kind of supported the themes, and I'm just going to read those to you. Familiarity. Some people might not think about it, testing. They wouldn't even know there was a test available, a rapid test. It was amazing, as I would describe this particular technique, that none of them, very few of them, knew that there was such a test. One, that there was a rapid test, much less that there was one that was based on saliva. And for those of you that are not familiar with it, there is a test that's been out for about 5 years now, a little bit longer, that we can do out in the community settings. We can collect a sample of saliva and within 30 minutes have a result that's relatively accurate. So there's no blood, there's no pain, there's just the collection of the saliva. Stigma. It's not that I'm afraid I'm positive, it's just that I don't want to be tested in my hometown. And there's still a lot of that out there. Fear. People really don't take the test because they're scared of what the results will be. And that there's still a lot of that out there, because what are we going to do if we are positive? Are we going to have the resources to be treated? How am I going to tell my family? Those kinds of things. So there's still fear associated with the findings. Access. If you could go to them, maybe an outside apartment complex, and do it confidentially, but go to them. There was a lot of discussion about how we could increase access. And this seemed to be one of the biggest pieces of this was, we want to be able to go be tested, but we don't want a big deal made out of it. We don't want a lot of signs. We don't want a lot of publicity. And frankly, we don't want a place that's just identified for nothing but testing. Which meant they really didn't want to go to community-based aid service organizations that offered free testing many times. And in Indianapolis and Indiana, we have confidential testing, but we don't have anonymous testing, which, even though the data shows it doesn't make any difference, I'm just not sure about that in certain populations. Immediacy. You won't be so scared waiting and wondering. In the past, before we had the rapid tests, usually we would draw a sample, whether it be saliva or blood, and send it off for analysis, and it would take anywhere from 7 to 10 days to get the results. And by then, we would lose about 25% of those people who came in to get their test results. They were long gone, never would come back. And 25% of that group was positive, and they were walking around with the disease or with the virus, not knowing it for sure. And they never would come back. The other piece of this is, in 1 in 5 in African American men, the average time from diagnosis, in terms of linkage of care, to actual care entry is an average of 5 years. So when they finally break down and get the test, it takes them 5 years before they will actually go seek treatment. And usually that's when their immune system is crashed and they end up in an emergency room and an ICU. Ease. Saliva is good because some people are terrified of getting their blood drawn, and that is true. And degree of responsibility. So you just have to know for the welfare of yourself. And there were also quotes that talked about welfare of others. Trust. If you're an African American and another African American tests you for it, you won't be judged. Since it's quicker, it may not be as accurate. So there was not only trust of the provider, there was also trust of this test. Because we'd finally gotten the word out that blood was a good thing to have drawn and that we could have some reliable results on that. They didn't know about this new saliva rapid test, even though it had been out for years. So they were not very trusting of that result. And even at that time, they had just switched in this particular clinic to salivary testing, and it was not rapid methods. It was the long ones. So as we were going back and doing another journey through the data, a colleague of mine, Barbara Haberman, said, you know, the men just seem to be saying something different from the women in these groups. So we went back and did a pretty extensive gender sub-analysis for some things. And we came up with a couple of themes and sub-themes for women and the same for men. Women were about health maintenance, and they were rather stoic about it. It was just part of what they were and what they did. For my health, really, for my welfare, again, is what they were about. And then they would follow those comments with, I have to take care of my family. I'm the one. So I have to be healthy. And it was just part of their role of being a mom or a responsible person. Now, They also made a comparison between women and men, and this was just a really good quote from these folks. Girls go to the doctor when they sneeze wrong. Boys just keep on sneezing till they sneeze right. And I made a note of that particular quote because that's their perception of the differences between men and women. So they're more cautious, and their perception is men just will keep going until... And that matches with the national data in terms of men and entering into care, the amount of time it takes. Men, on the other hand, were different. They were about illness management. In other words, just if I think I have something, I'm going to do it, take care of it, and I'm going to move on and let me have my life and do what I want to do. And some seem to be rather angry about this whole idea of HIV/AIDS and having to be tested and change behaviors. Just to know you ain't got no disease, or if you do, you can get it taken care of and go on with your life. If positive, you know, some think that they might be safe. I don't care. I'm passing it on. So they were rather frank, even in these mixed groups, about, you know, if I'm gonna have to deal with this, I'm gonna enjoy and do what I want to do. And if it's at other people's expenses, well then, so be it. So, rather than take up the whole presentation with quotes, which there are many of them, I just did a few of those. There was a quantitative phase to this, and I'm not going to focus on it much because most of this is about the qualitative findings. I did a sample of about 329 African-American men and women and did a bunch of psychosocial batteries, questionnaires, looking at social support, self-esteem, AIDS knowledge, risk behaviors. There were about 12 variables. The model that I used for both to frame the study, both phases, was Niemiec's comprehensive health seeking and coping paradigm, which has a lot of coping theory in it. And I modified that, and actually in the phase two piece was interested in seeing what kind of path analysis I could get. Well, unfortunately, I needed about three times the sample as we finally got into looking at the variables. So the path analysis was not useful at that point. However, in some of the other testing that we did, we found that participants with higher AIDS knowledge and lower emotion-focused coping tended to have higher likelihood for participation in testing, which is kind of like, duh. But when we look at, for example, CDC's stance on eliminating the recommendation for mandatory pretest screening and education in an attempt to get primary care providers to do opt-out testing, we've lost a lot of that. And in this particular population that doesn't have the luxury of going to primary care providers many times, they don't have that, they're not getting that kind of education. And we know the pragmatism of those kinds of clinics that they do go to, they're doing good to get in, get the treatment that they need, and move through. So many times HIV testing is just not one of those things that happens unless they're symptomatic and they're at risk. Participants with higher problem-focused coping tended to be more likely to seek medical help or to enter care, and that again made sense. In terms of the phase two findings, and this somewhat supports the qualitative analysis, there were 215 men and 114 women. Female participants with higher values of risky behavior tended to be more likely to participate in testing. In other words, they got it. And that was part of that, I need to be responsible and take care of things and know what I'm going to be doing with my life and my family. So putting all this together, even though the path analysis and the quant phase didn't help us a lot, we're in the process of going back and re-looking at relationships and a lot of those variables, and we're going to rerun things and see what we can do. It was obvious that we needed tailored community-based interventions to try to alleviate fear and stigma in the context of HIV and STI screening, and obviously to increase trust in methods and providers. Just a refresher, behavior tailoring involves behavior-focused communication based on an assessment of individual characteristics, which is basically what we did in this study, and also individualized health communication content, specifically demographics such as gender and race, ethnicity, and psychosocial variables such as perceived barriers and benefits to changing or maintaining behaviors, and we got into both of those realms in both phases. So, without giving all of my secrets away, because this is actually an R21 application that's going in January, we're looking at specific testing center locations and staff in a nested approach to try to get at what these participants were telling me they would like in terms of a testing center. In other words, we don't want it necessarily parked out in the community where people know what's going on. And oh, by the way, one of the quotes I didn't put up there was, they wanted physician providers and trained people, which was part of this trust, to be able to be available and readily there in case there was an issue in terms of findings or care or questions. They didn't want just anybody doing a simple salivary test. Well, that makes sense. Obviously trying to find licensed people and well-trained people to do that and do it for no cost or little cost is difficult. So we are looking at doing a type of testing within an infectious diseases clinic, but doing it in somewhat of a cloaked way. Not that it would be a secret, but it certainly wouldn't be something that would be put out on billboards, and it would be, we're going to actually use respondent-driven sampling in that particular study to see if we can spread the word and see how that works and test. The intervention will also consist of risk education and assessment. They kept over and over and over again telling us, we don't know enough about this. We wish we had known more. We'll use cell phone technology to deliver some gender-based persuasive messages via text. We're in the process of developing those messages now based on the quotes and some of the directions that they gave us in the focus groups.